Parshas Kisavo begins, Vayah Kisavo el Haaretz, and the Sifri points out that in the merit of keeping this mitzvah, B'nai Yisrael will merit coming into the land. And the question has to be raised that the mitzvah of Bikurim doesn't go into effect until after 14 years after B'nai Haaretz. Now, if the whole mitzvah is a schus for getting into Eretz Yisrael, why not have the mitzvah start right away? What's the message that we're supposed to take away? So the late, great Rosh Hashiva, Merkaz HaRav Rav Shaul Yisraeli explained that the idea of coming into the land, Kisavo El Aretz, right, when coming into the land does not refer to physical entrance into Eretz Yisrael, it refers to the spiritual entrance into the land. Says Rav Yisraeli, through the understanding of the spiritual value of the land, and that in order to appreciate that uniqueness of this, of entering into Eretz Yisrael, literally submersing oneself in the land of Israel, a person has to be able to be yorish v'rishtach v'yashavta ba, right? You have to inherit the land and dwell in it. You don't just enter it. And that required the 14 years of kibush v'chiluk. So that is the zechus of going into the land. That's the merit. You get the spiritual value of going into the land, and it only comes when you actually get fully into it and you get to the point of bringing the Bikurim. And when you do so, you have the opportunity to do the Parshas Havos Bikurim. Uvasa la Kohen asher yeh bayamim ahim. Torah tells us you'll come to the Kohen who'll be present in those days. V'amarta ilav, and you're going to say to him, Higadati hayom. So you're going to amarta, and you're going to say, Higadati. I declare today, L'Hashem Elokecha kibasi ala aretz. Now the commentaries point out that Haggadah is not in word, but rather it's in action. Like the Ramban clarifies, that through the bringing of the fruit, through the actual process of just bringing the Bikurim, a person is demonstrating that he's stating in front of Hashem that he's come. So the late great Rosh Hashiva of Or Elchanan, Rav Moshe Mordechai Chadosh, Zecher Tzadik Livrachek, adds that this highlights a fundamental difference between Amira, which is always in spoken word, and Haggadah, which doesn't always have to be in word. Parenthetically explains that this is how a person who lacks the ability to speak can theoretically testify, which leads the Gemara in Gittin on Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph to ask the question as to why that is. He also uses it to explain yet another anomaly. When the Torah is given, it says, Kosomar leBeis Yaakov v'saged leBnei Yisrael. When it's the process of speaking to Beis Yaakov, you tell them the halachis, that's the chiv, by the way, parenthetically, the process whereby the women learn. But the men, it's saged. They have to be involved in the limud haTorah aspect as well. And that is the mitzvah Bikurim. Now, in regard thereafter, we find out that at the end of the Pesach time of the fourth and seventh years, we have to make a declaration that we call Vidui Maiser. And Rashi tells us that the declaration, Biarti HaKodesh Min HaBayis, is called a concept of Vidui Maiser. But what kind of Vidui? When we think of Vidui, Vidui usually implies a sense of confession of sin. So the Satmar Rebbe, Rabbi Yoel Teitelbaum, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, explained that the declaration that we did mitzvahs as prescribed, below shachachti, there the Torah is teaching us a lesson, that doing mitzvahs is nothing to be haughty about. Because Chazal tells us that when one is haughty about doing mitzvahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to forget about the mitzvah. Here also, what the person is declaring, lo shachachti milevarechecha, I didn't forget to give you the bracha, to give you the credit, and therefore, I deserve to have your protection. Afterwards, the bulk of the parsha deals primarily with the tochacha. Eile yamdu the six parts of the nation that were put on Har Grizim, and the other six were put onto Har Eval. And the question has to be asked, why are there differences and divisions between Shvatim that are deemed to be the blessed Shvatim and the ones that are deemed to be, so to speak, the cursed ones? What kind of business is this? It sounds almost as if there's racism within the Jewish nation, Chalila. So Rabelsky explained that the Shvatim were not divided on the basis of blessing or curse within themselves, but rather, says Rabelsky, it was whether their primary mode of service to Hashem would be through Yira or through Ahava, through fear or through love. when a yeshiva would be on Har Eival, it would be a yeshiva that would inspire what Rav Belsky Zatzal calls Yiras HaRomimus, a certain reverence for the greatness of God. And so therefore, that yeshiva would be acutely aware that one who didn't appreciate that type of yira was indeed aror, was indeed cursed for losing out on the opportunity to serve Hashem in an inspiring, positive manner. The split in the service style guaranteed that the Shvatim would seek one another out in order to learn from one another in the process. So actually, the separation of the nation actually set them up for more interaction and less racial divide. However, the Torah continues, in Lo Sishmu al Mitzvos Hashem, Uvo Alecha Klalos Ha'ila V'Siguha, that if we don't listen to Hashem, then the curses will be upon us and they will get us. Now, why does the Torah inspire mitzvah observance through the process of fear, through punishment? If indeed, just doing things so that you don't get punished is considered a pretty low level of serving Hashem. So the late great Rav Aaron Cutler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, explains that while observing mitzvos out of fear is a lower level of observance, it's the building block for all subsequent observances. In other words, yes, it's true, one shouldn't just serve Hashem because he doesn't want to get punished by Hashem, but there's an awareness of the greatness of Hashem if you're always involved in the concern. Eila divrei habris, melvad habris asher karasi tam b'chori. At the end of the Tochacha, we read that these are the words of the bris, except aside from the bris that was made in Choriv. And the question again has to be asked: why was there a need for a bris in Choriv? After all, why was there a need for two covenants and two tochachos? So Rav Shachter's Shalita would often impress upon us the idea that while the first tochacha spoke to the individual who did not listen to the word of Hashem, the tochacha of our parsha speaks to the nation as a whole. What's the difference between the tochacha of an individual and the tochacha of a nation? The difference is, explained Rav Shachter, include the fact that a bris would be binding for future generations as well. In other words, normally speaking, if you make a deal with an individual, when the individual dies, that's the end. When you make a deal with a nation, so by definition, the nation carries through. It's even after the individuals who play for the nation or who lead the nation are gone. In addition, there's the concept of arvus, which can apply to this covenant, which didn't apply to the first one. Right, the first covenant it didn't have an arvus. It was based on the individual, and not the side person in the process. Okay. At the end of the parsha, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu praises Bnei Yisrael, he says that Lechem lo achaltem u'mayim lo shasisem u'mayim v'yayim v'shechar lo shasisem. Now, this is a description of Hashem's chesed, that we didn't eat meat, and we didn't drink wine or meat, so that we know that there is Hashem. So what's the chesed of Hashem to know that we weren't drunk in the Midbar? And why is that called a chesed in the process? So Rav Nebenzal Shalita explains that the lack of need for alcohol came from the fact that they drank from the Be'er instead. And that Be'er came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that was a chesed. And because we didn't drink the alcohol, we were able to be of a clear mind in order to contemplate and know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem set up the situation and cycle whereby we would be able to serve Him in a meaningful and proper way. Finally, in the Haftorah, the very end of the Haftorah, we're told about B'Yasem HaShiach, Ani Hashem B'Itah Achishana. Hashem declares, I am Hashem, in its time I shall hasten it, in reference to the Geula. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that there is obviously a contradiction between Be'ita and Achishana. And so the Gemara explains, look, Zachu Be'ita, lo Zachu Achishana, Zachu Achishana, lo Zachu Be'ita. There will be a time for Mashiach, but if we merit it, it will be hastened. And so therefore, that's the Gemara's determination. But Rav Pamzatzal explained that this is part of the synonymous Bagalobis Mankariv that we declare in Kaddish. We say it should come speedily and in a quick time. Why is that not a redundancy? So Rav Pam explained that even when the Gehula comes, the process can come either speedily or the process can be a long, drawn-out process. So we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring it ba'agala, bring it speedily, but bring it b'zman kariv. Make sure that it comes, even when the process starts, bring it in such a way that it's not going to be something that we cannot handle. Ba'agala u'b'zman kariv. We daven for geula constantly, and we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sometimes we think we're in ikva de Mashiach, sometimes we think that we are in Yemos HaMashiach, sometimes we say it to ourselves, Reishis Michas Gulasenu. Sometimes we say, Shetehei Reishis Michas Gulasenu. The one thing that we have to hope for is that our geula should be completed completely and totally. Wishing you all from a place where Yad Hashem was seen very overtly here in beautiful Greater Elizabeth, New Jersey, a sense of a Shabbat Shalom, a Shabbat Shalom, and a hope for a Yom Shekulo Shabbos Umlucha L'chaye Ha'olamim.